Maniacs, those of us who are not accomplished musicians sometimes have these romantic ideas about how you, who are very accomplished musicians, approach work. So with this concert, with two pieces from, as we've just said, radically different parts of history, are you going to two different parts of your brain emotionally or academically or intellectually?
I think that's probably every piece you do is almost a separate challenge. So two different Beethoven sonatas are two different worlds. I think we as pianists especially are used to that because we play recitals and we go through many different eras in one program very often. Sometimes we play the works of one composer, but often different things. And of course, conductors deal with that all the time. We go from, 2013 to 1804 to 1912 without a hitch, I guess.
But it's more than just playing the music that's in front of you, right?
Well, I just meant that it doesn't make anything easier by having an all Beethoven program.
Sure, sure.
That's all. It's just as hard, just as challenging, and just as much three or four different worlds as it would be going from Bach to Strauss or Stravinsky to Buxtehude, I guess.
In this concert, you're working with Vladimir Yurovsky and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Tell me about that experience a little bit, as it's been in rehearsals earlier this week, and what you feel, your sense of with that combination of conductor and orchestra.
Well, of course, the orchestra is one of my great loves and one of the highlights of my life whenever I come here. It's the first great orchestra that I ever got a chance to play with back in 1975. And it's just as exciting now as it was then, and just as nerve-wracking.
And then working with a relatively young conductor like Vladimir Yurovsky.
Yes.
He has now a fairly well-established relationship with the orchestra, and you can see it from the way he's reacting to them and vice versa, that there seems to be a smaller demand for very involved communication. How do you feed into that?
Well, I think he's an extraordinary individual. I've done a couple of things with him before, and this is, I think it's our third time to do something together. I find that he's amazingly detailed in his work, very, very careful about very specific things, small balances within sections, length of notes, very specific instructions, but every single one of them has very much a point and has a general aim in mind. So his way is remarkable, very special, and to me, extremely eye-opening, inspiring, and educational. So I'm learning a lot.
Which actually takes me to my next question. About, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, I spoke with Yo-Yo Ma, a good friend of yours and colleague.
Yes.
On or near his 50th birthday, and I said, what's next? Are there any boxes to be ticked? And he said, something, not really, I'm more of the same. You say you're still learning. Are there boxes still to be ticked when you've had a career that's been as fruitful as yours?
Well, I think Yo-Yo would also say there are many boxes to be ticked in that sense. None of us come to the end of anything. There are certain pieces I've been playing since I was 21 years old that on the one hand I'm just beginning to understand, and on the other hand, I'm realizing that I'm probably too old to get what I want. So it's a kind of, it's on the one hand, a very pleasing profession in that you are always looking for something and with any luck feel that you're getting somewhere. But then your abilities, I'm old now. And I can't.
Relatively.
Well, I think the physical things will probably start to diminish from here on in.
But doesn't that mean that you just have to make the brain work a little harder?
I suppose. I think it depends very much on the individual. You have to be lucky with that. I remember hearing Rubinstein play in fantastic physical shape in his 80s. He really was able to sustain that. Not everybody is. I think you need some luck with that. And you need to keep working hard, of course. But on the other hand, the good part is you never have to think about what you're going to do when you retire, because you're always studying. I'm a perpetual student of piano. So
I would imagine that there's no retirement, because you're not exactly going to become a fanatical golfer. The chances are that what you would do in your spare time is play the piano, right?
I guess so. I mean, I may have to stop because of physical inability, but certainly my brain has, there's so much room for improvement.
How will you know when it's time to stop? I mean, presumably, and I don't know if this is the case already, you start to eliminate certain pieces that are beyond your physical grasp.
I think so. I think you feel like, well, I'm doing the burlesque now, and I don't know if I'll be able to play that much longer. It's very difficult. I'm not sure. The Brahms concerti, in some places, have actually become more approachable physically.
Ah.
Just because of the number of times that you do them. So a couple of things which used to be more difficult are a little bit easier now. But other things are a little bit harder, you know.
For instance, what? I mean, I know the left hand and the second is complicated, right?
Yeah, they're just things that you've done for many, many years. They're like old friends, you know, so you feel, or maybe because you're so used to missing certain notes that you just take no more notice of that anymore. You just say, oh yes, that's the way it's supposed to sound, you know.
Wonderful. Well, we're so delighted that you're here playing for us, and thank you so much for speaking with
Always
us.
Always a thrill. Thank you very much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.